Excellent. When you think for just a moment how God can take dead sinners like you and me and make us alive saints, that's an excellent God. How God can take people like you and me who were in darkness and bring us out of darkness and deliver us into this marvelous light. That's an excellent God. That's an excellent Savior. Who can take people who are hopeless and helpless and bring us from that hopeless and that helpless situation and give us hope and give us help and give us salvation and give us deliverance, give us victory. That's an excellent God. You or I couldn't do that on our own. We couldn't do that in and of ourselves, but it was God who made us alive. It was God who quickened us. It was God who caused us to be born again. And it's God who keeps us each and every day. It's Jesus who keeps us each and every day. We have new mercies every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have new mercies every morning. You and I made it through yesterday. We made it through last week. We made it through last year. We made it through the last decade. We made it through the last 50 years. Only by the grace and mercy of God, an excellent God. Only by the grace and mercy of an excellent and mighty God. Our God is excellent. Our God is excellent. Our God is excellent. Some of us might have even been suicidal, but God pulled the plug and pulled us to himself. Our God is excellent. He's an excellent God. He not only gives us saving grace, but he also gives us sustaining grace. He doesn't just save us and leave us on the roadside and say, well, make it the best way you can. But no, he saves us and he walks with us each and every day. He walks with us each and every day. He's told us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a covenant-keeping God. He said, I'll be with you until the end and throughout all eternity. We are secure in the arms of Jesus. We're safe in the arms of God. Safe. Safe. Father, we thank you for being a God who indeed, you are excellent, you are great, you are mighty, you are our Savior, you are our bread when we are hungry, you are our water when we are thirsty, you are everything that we need, you are the one who loves us, you are the one who gives us grace and mercy, you are the one who disciplines us, you are the one who indeed leads us and draws us to yourself. So we thank you, dear God, for being just who you are. So even today, dear God, as we open up once again the Word of God, I have no words to say unless you say them to me and through me, dear God. We all need to hear from you. We need to be corrected. We need to be rebuked. We need to be encouraged. We need to be exhorted. We need to learn from you, dear Lord. We are your sheep and you are our shepherd. So feed us now, dear God. And even as we leave here today, dear Lord, don't allow us to leave here as Minister Terman prayed earlier. Don't allow us to leave here the same. Let us leave here changed, a little more surrendered to Christ than when we first came, a little more in love with you, dear Jesus. And as we leave out of these doors, let us make a difference in our homes, in our communities, on our jobs, wherever we might be. Let us make a difference because we've been in your presence, because we've had a burning bush experience. So speak now again, dear God, to our hearts and minds, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand again, if you can stand. And my text this morning is coming out of Mark 9 that we read from 14 through 29 earlier. I'm going to preach primarily from 17 through 29. Now I'm just going to read a few of those verses this morning before you take your seat. Mark chapter 9. You know, I primarily preach out of the New King James Version. It's a good translation. But I read a lot in the ESV version, the English Standard Version. That's a great translation. Also, I read some the New American Standard Version. That's a good translation. And, of course, many of us were brought up on the King James Version. And I kind of say all that to say this. At the very end of my reading this morning, some manuscripts and therefore some translations will not have prayer and fasting, but some do. Some have the and fasting, and we're going to talk a little bit about fasting this morning, but I just want to say up front, if you had a Bible, you may not have prayer and fasting. It may not have that and fasting on it, but the scriptures, we know that all of the scriptures are true and reliable. Well, we trust in the Bible, but sometimes you have little variations. Nothing doctrinal, nothing that relates to our salvation or our living. But I just wanted to say that up front. I'm going to mention it again in my message. Look at with me at Mark 9. I'm going to read verses 21 through 24. So Jesus asked his father, the father of this young man who was demon possessed. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him, to your son? And the father said, from childhood. And often he meaning the demons has thrown my son both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And of course, Jesus goes on and casts out the demon. We'll see that in a few minutes. But verse 28 says, and when Jesus had come into the house, his disciples asked him, they asked Jesus privately, why could we not cast it out? Why could we not cast the demon out? So Jesus answered them, said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Like I said, some translations, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Nothing but prayer and fasting. You may be seated, and as you take your seat, my topic this morning is when you fast. When you fast. Or you might even say when you pray and fast. When you pray and fast. Let's say that. When you pray and fast. When you pray and fast. In your Christian life, in your Christian walk, there are some things that you have attempted to overcome, but you have been unsuccessful. Yeah, that is true. There are some bad habits you have tried to break, but you have not been able to break them. There are perhaps good habits, some good things you have tried to start, but you haven't been able to start, or even if you started, you haven't been able to really sustain it. There are perhaps some sins that you have tried to be delivered from, but not with much success. Why is that? Do you ever wonder, why is that? You know, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're born again. Why is that? Perhaps it's because your method of dealing with these issues have been inadequate. Maybe unknowingly, and this is to the Christian, maybe unknowingly, you've tried to overcome these things in your own strength. You know, you and I maybe have just used our own ingenuity. Only to find out that the only way for complete victory, the only way to achieve any type of spiritual success in this Christian life is to take everything to Jesus and bathe it in prayer and fasting. That's really the only way to have any success, is to take everything to Jesus, to humbly take it to his feet in prayer and sometimes with fasting. So quit trying to resolve it on your own. Quit trying to simply take the advice of your friends, the advice of your buddies, taking their word. But heed the word of God. In the text before us, there is an issue. There is an issue in the text before us that only was resolved when that person was brought to Jesus. The disciples tried to do it, and I'm sure the father probably took the son to other maybe doctors or something, but nobody else could do it. Nobody else could do it but Jesus. The disciples couldn't do it. Jesus said they couldn't do it because they weren't praying and fasting. That's what Jesus said. He said, y'all couldn't do it because y'all weren't praying and fasting. So even as we go through this text this morning, beloved, your application today, my application today is, as we go through this text this morning, is to keep your heart and mind on Jesus. Keep your heart and mind on praying and fasting. Keep your heart and mind on those things as we go through this wonderful text. In verse 17 of this text, it says, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, talking to Jesus, teacher, I brought you, Jesus, my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. Listen to this. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid, like he's dead. So I spoke to your disciples, Jesus, the Father says, I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, cast this demon out of my son, but they could not. But they could not. The disciples couldn't heal this boy. Just like that thing you're struggling with that you haven't been able to get rid of. They could not handle the situation of this demon-possessed boy who gave this boy a mute spirit, this demon or demons, who would not allow this little son, this boy, to speak. And so the father had to bring his son to Jesus. In Matthew's account of this text, Matthew says that this father came to Jesus kneeling, showing great respect and honor to Jesus. So the father comes to Jesus pleading and kneeling. Said, Jesus, my, your disciples couldn't do it. They couldn't help my son, but can you help him? Again, maybe there's some things in your Christian life you've been trying to undo, but you've had little or no success. Maybe it's a Christian discipline that you've been trying to start. You've been saying, I want to read my Bible more regularly. I want to pray more fervently. I want to share my faith. I want to share the gospel with others. But you kind of struggling in those areas. Well, today, if you listen to the words of Jesus, today, if you take this to Jesus in prayer and fasting, you will have, not maybe, not might, you will have better success in those types of areas. Now, all of us in here who are born again want to have more success in those areas, right? I mean, all of us want to be more faithful in reading and studying and applying the word of God. All of us want to be more successful in sharing our faith with others. All of us want to be more faithful, if you will, in praying and interceding for others, right? But this text, once again, opens up the way that you and I can do that more effectively this morning. Verse 19 says, Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Bring your son here to me. In verse 20, the first part says, then they brought him, the son, the demon-possessed son, to him, Jesus Christ. They brought him to him. Our Lord and Savior says, Father, Dad, I see your issue. I see your problem. This son of yours is demonically possessed. My disciples couldn't cast out the demon. They couldn't help you, but bring him here to me. Bring him here to me. Even this morning, saints, whatever issue, whatever thing is plaguing you this morning, whatever is messing with you this morning, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I hear our Messiah saying, bring it here to me. Bring it to me. Take it to Jesus. Take that thing. Take that person. Take it to Jesus. So they brought him, H-I-M, the little boy, to him, capital H-I-M, the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought him to him. Same word, right? They brought him to him. See, it also, it depends on what him you're dealing with. They brought him, the son, to him, the Savior. They brought him who was demon possessed to him who can cast out demons. They brought him who had a problem to him who is a problem solver. They brought him who had a tormented life to him who gives abundant and eternal life. Which him are you dealing with? I suggest you deal with the him who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to deal with that him. Bring your problems to him, to Jesus Christ. Take your issues to him, the one to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Take your issues to him, the one who is able to keep you from falling. Take your issues to him, the one who is able to present you faultless and blameless before the throne of God. Take your situation to him, the one who is all wise. Take your situation to him, the one who is all powerful. Take your situation to him, the one who is all knowing. Take your situation to him who is the good shepherd. Take your situation to him who is our guide. Take your situation to him, the one who is our propitiation. take your situation to him, the one who is our mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Take your situation to him, the one who is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Take your situation to him, the one who was crucified. Take your situation to him, the one who was resurrected. Take your situation to him, the one who is our intercessor, who prays for you and me. Take your situations to him. To him, the right him. Take your issues to him. Take your problems to him. Take your bad habits to him. Take your sin to him. Now I'm preaching better than y'all listening this morning. Whatever your issues are, take them to him. Perhaps those things that you have been wrestling with, those things you've been battling with and combating on your own, you're trying to tackle it on your own. You're trying to overcome it or defeat it in your own strength. It's wearing you out and you're losing. And once again, I hear our Lord and Savior say, bring it here to me. Bring it to me, Jesus says. Bring it to him. Take that situation, take that problem, take that person, take that fear, take that anxiety, take that illness, that sickness, take that sin, take that insecurity, take that lack of contentment, take that lack of joy, take that lack of peace, take it to Jesus and leave it there and listen for his instructions. Jesus, in dealing with them in verse 19, he called them a faithless generation. And his response really was to the Father, the dad of the son, but also to his disciples and also to the listening crowd. Most of them were the religious leaders. So Jesus called them a faithless generation. Beloved, don't let that be Jesus's remark to you, a faithless generation. Don't be in that group called faithless generation. Be in the group that's faithful and not faithless. Be in the faithful generation, not the faithless generation. So this father comes, he brings his son to Jesus. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon. He brings his son to Jesus. In verse 19, he brings the situation rather to Jesus. In verse 19, and then Jesus says, again in verse 20, Jesus said, bring him here to me. And then they brought him, they brought the son, they brought the demon-possessed boy to Jesus, verse 20. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Immediately when the demon possessed boy, when they saw Jesus, anytime you read the gospels, oftentimes when Jesus would show up, if there was somebody there demonically possessed, the demons would just start acting a fool. They know that Jesus is greater than them. Sometimes they would ask, Jesus, is it our time yet? Are you about to throw us into the lake of fire? Are you about to throw us into the abyss? Is it our time yet? And so these demons, when they saw Jesus coming, they began to act a fool, convulse the boy. He began to foam at the mouth again. And so Jesus asked the father, how long have you, he's been doing this, verse 21. And the father said, from childhood. And often he being the demons, has thrown him, my son, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Listen to the last part of verse 22. But Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The dad said, my son is in a desperate condition. And Jesus, if you can do anything, your disciples could not do anything. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Because this has been happening to this young man for a long time. The Bible doesn't say how old he was, but the dad says it's been happening since childhood. So I can probably safely say several years. You know, it's been happening to this boy for a long time. Perhaps this morning, some of you have been struggling with something for a long time. But leave it here today. Let it end today. Draw a line in the sand today and say, Lord, this area of my life, I'm going to leave it with you today. Or this area of my life, I'm going to start doing this like a little better today in this area today. You know, in those days, oftentimes, because it talks about them throwing the demons, throwing this boy in fire and water, oftentimes you would have open fires. Kind of like for those of you that went on the mission trip to Jamaica with us, in a lot of, not so much here in the United States now, but in a lot of, in the country where I grew up, or in a lot of third world places, they just burn stuff openly. you know, just burning in your backyard, just burning wherever, you know, just open fires were everywhere. So even as this boy was walking around the streets of Jerusalem, if you will, in those biblical days, oftentimes it would be open fires and oftentimes bodies of water that did not have a fence around them. You know, they didn't have like our pools, so that you had to have a fence around your pool or you might get fined or get in trouble. And so when the boy would come close to fire or water, the demons would immediately throw him into the fire. Throw him into the water, trying to kill the boy. Now that shouldn't surprise us because the devil, his job description in John 10, he's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the demons, they following the devil, they with him, they run together. That's on their mind. They're trying to kill this little boy. And so I can imagine this lad looked a mess. I'm sure he had burns all over him because whenever they came near fire or water, they would throw him into the fire. The devil, once again, that's all he has for you, killing, stealing, and destroying. So if you're not following Jesus, if you're not walking with Jesus, if you're not tracking with Jesus, if you're not walking with our Lord, you're walking with the person that only thing he has for you is killing, stealing, and destroying. Who wants to hang around somebody that all he has for you is killing, stealing, and destroying? He'll try to kill your life. He'll try to destroy your dreams. He'll try to short circuit your whole life. So that's what they were trying to do to this young lad. They were trying to kill him. That was their agenda, to kill him. And so the guy said, Jesus, if you can help us, if you have compassion on us, please help us. Oh, that's a good request. Said, Lord, if you have compassion, please help us. See, obviously, he didn't really know the character. He didn't really know the attributes of Jesus. Obviously, he didn't really know the full attributes of our God. Because I'm glad that we serve a compassionate God. Our God has compassion. I said, our God has compassion. If you ever doubt that, just look in the mirror. When you get home, just look in the mirror. Say, my God is a compassionate God. He's shown each one of us much compassion. As a matter of fact, when God describes himself in Exodus 33 or chapter 34, when Moses was talking to God and Moses was trying to get God to show himself to God, and God began to talk about who he is. He said, I am the Lord your God. I'm full of grace and mercy, slow to anger, full of compassion. God, that's one of the ways that God describes himself. He's a compassionate God. We serve a compassionate Savior. Once again, the guy had to come to Jesus because the disciples could not do it. And it could not cast out the demon. We'll look at that in a minute. In verse 29, Jesus once again said they couldn't do it because of their lack of prayer and fasting. Maybe the disciples, you think about it, maybe the disciples, maybe they had gotten a little... Because if you read earlier in the Gospels, Jesus had sent the disciples out and they were able to heal some people. They were able to cast out some demons previously. So just maybe the disciples had gotten a little kind of complacent and a little confident in their own ability. Kind of like, Jesus, we got this under control. No, you don't. When you ever start thinking that the Bible says, he who stands, take heed lest he fall. I'm sure maybe the disciples that started reading their press clippings just a little too much and said, hey, we got this. We it's casting out demons and healing folks. This stuff is kind of easy. But no, they kind of met their match with this particular young man. And Jesus said, you weren't ready. Verse 22 and 23 again. Verse 22, latter part of verse 22 again. Lord, if you have compassion, if you can do it, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said, I got the compassion. I am concerned about you and your son, but do you believe? Do you believe? Jesus is willing and able to set you free this morning. Jesus is willing and able to help you begin that spiritual discipline this morning. But do you believe? But do you believe? Jesus is willing. He's able to set you free this morning. Are you willing? See, Jesus has the ability, but do you have the availability? See, it's never an ability problem, never a power or a resource problem with our God. It's never an ability issue with our G. It's really more like pointing back on us, on you and me. Do we have the availability? Do we believe? Because he isn't a compassionate God. He is a concerned God. He is an all-powerful God. So we don't have to ever wonder about, I'm praying this and I'm asking the Lord to help me with this. I don't know if he can really help me or not. No, we don't have to ever pray that. We can say, Lord, I we know you're able. We know you're able, but are you willing? Are you going to help? I know you're able. I know you have the ability, and I'm here bringing my availability. Does that make sense? So Jesus says, I'm willing. I'm able. Jesus said, bring him here to me. Matter of fact, in verse 23, listen to this. Verse 23, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes, to him who puts their faith and trust in me. All things are possible. Now, sometimes we take stuff out of context, and sometimes we run away from verses, sometimes we run to verses. But Jesus said, hey, if you believe, if you have faith, all things are possible. The Bible says in another place that you know, you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Once again, it's in Christ. It's in him. It's through Christ who strengthens us. See, we got to remember where our help, where our strength comes from. It comes from him. It comes from the Lord. It's in him and him alone. Our strength comes from him. It comes from his word. It comes from his promises. We gain strength as we pray and fast. We gain strength as we read, as we study, as we apply the word of God to our lives. We gain strength in the Lord. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's pretty self-explanatory. Jesus, all things are possible to him who believes. And then look at verse 24. I love this response. Verse 24 says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever been there? He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, yeah, I got some trust. Lord, I got some faith. But it's a weak faith. I got some faith, but it's mingled up with some doubt also. It's mixed with doubt. But Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, when we're talking to God, we're talking to Jesus, we can't fool God. Sometimes I think we can fool God. Well, Lord, I can help. I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, you're scared to death. Just say, Lord, I'm ready. I think I can handle it, but I'm really kind of nervous. I'm kind of scared. So, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, beloved, here it is. You know what? You can have weak faith. And Minister Bray alluded to it earlier. You can have weak faith in a strong God and be okay. Let me say that one again. You can have weak faith in a strong Jesus and be okay. But you can have strong faith in yourself and your own abilities, and you're about to mess up then. So as long as you have a little bit of faith, a mustard seed faith, the Bible says, just the smallest seed that is, a mustard seed faith in the right God, in the right Christ, you are right. Then God can work with that, so to speak. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Got some doubt. Any of us who've been walking this Christian walk any amount of years, you're not strong in the Lord every day. I got some super saints out there. I said, we're not strong in the Lord every day. Some days our faith is weak. Some days we're kind of a little down. So, Lord, I'm a little weak today. I need a little extra oomph from you. Maybe an extra Bible verse there, or maybe a call from a fellow saint. I'm a little weak today. But I believe, but help my unbelief. And he said this with tears in his eyes. So Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. He's a concerned father at the feet of Jesus. I say he's a concerned father. His son is demonically possessed. He's taking his son once again to the disciples. He's perhaps taking his son to other doctors and other people like that, trying to get help for his son, but no help for his son. But now he has his son, and this concerned father, he's at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that's the best place to be. I said, that's the best place to be, at the feet of Jesus. At the foot of the cross, that's the best place to be. So, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So let's see how our Lord and Savior responds. Let's see how Jesus responds to this guy who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. In verses 25 through 27, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Let me just pause there for a moment. Don't ever, biblically and theologically, don't ever get it twisted. the Jesus that we serve, the God that we serve, is far greater than any devil or demon in hell. Don't be believing some of that warped theology. It's kind of like almost like the God and the devil going back and forth, and God hits one blow and the devil hits another blow and God hits another. No. It was ended even before it began. It was ended. Read Revelation 20 when you get home. The devil and the rest of his little minions and anybody who doesn't receive Christ are going to get thrown into the lake of fire. It's not like any suspense. It's not like any, well, who going to come out ahead? Who going to win today? No, God, he's already been defeated. In Genesis 3, matter of fact, God even gave a proclamation that my seed is going to come and is going to crush your head, Satan. So don't ever get that twisted. You keep your theology right. I mean, the God that we serve, greater, check this out, the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is within us than he, Brother Kelly, than he that is within the world. So we're on the right side. Let me say that again. I know sometimes the news don't seem like it. I know sometimes when you watch what's going on, it doesn't seem like it. But beloved, if you in Christ, if you following Jesus, you on the right side. You with the right one, baby. You on the right side. So the text says, Jesus saw the situation. People coming running to him because he was thinking about the Father who asked, Lord, help me. I believe, but help my unbelief. Says Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to the deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Let's see what happens. Verse 26. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him one last time, the boy greatly, and came out of him. And he being the boy, became as one dead. So that many said, he is dead. Jesus killed him. See, people, we don't often understand what God is doing. We don't often understand what Jesus is doing. These people, the boy was demonically possessed. The demon came out of him, convulsed him, and then the boy appeared to be dead. He kind of went limp. And they said, he's dead. They said, he's dead. And this young man, he's more alive than he's ever been in his whole life. And they said, he's dead. See, man would misdiagnose you all the time, every time. He's dead. No, he's more alive than he's ever been. Spiritually alive now. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The young boy arose. So he's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. So Jesus, once again, in this text, demonstrates his power over the supernatural realm. He shows his power over Satan. And the demonic realm, the devil and his demons, Jesus shows his power over them. And really, watch this, beloved. He commanded the demons to come out of the boy, and the demons came out of the boy. They obeyed. We can take a page. We need to learn something from the demons this morning. They obeyed Jesus. So the daddy got his son to Jesus. And oh, his son was delivered. Oh, I bet he was probably thinking, maybe if I can just get to Jesus. I went to his boys, I went to his disciples, but they couldn't do it. But maybe if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus, everything might be all right. Because I believe, but Lord, you got to help my unbelief. If I can just get to Jesus. Oh, that's a great biblical. We see that thread from Genesis to Revelation. If I can just get to Jesus. I can see the woman with the issue of blood who had exhausted all of her money for those 12, 13, 14 years and used up all of her money. But she said, but if I can just get to Jesus, and she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. If you can just get to Jesus, I can see Zacchaeus, a little short fella, a little tax gatherer, beating folks out of their money. He said, if I can just get to Jesus, he runs ahead and gets up in a sycamore tree. And because he's short, he gets in a sycamore tree, and Jesus walks by and looks up and sees Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today salvation has come to your house. Oh, that day Zacchaeus and Jesus met, and Zacchaeus got saved, got born again, went back giving folks their money back. If you can just get to Jesus. I can see the Samaritan woman at the well, who had all these ex-husbands, and even right then she was shacking up, staying with a guy, and Jesus began to tell her all about herself, and she left there shouting. She said, oh, I met a man. He's different from all these other men. I met a man. He told me all about my life. Could he be the Messiah? If you just get to Jesus. And guess what? Jesus is not playing hide and go seek. It's not like you got to run him down. As a matter of fact, he runs you down. He runs me down. if you can just get to Jesus. I can see the lady who was a streetwalker, who was a prostitute, and she went into the house, and the Bible says she began to cry and weep and wash Jesus' feet with her tears, and she was a prostitute, and she met Jesus, and she left there being a changed lady. It's something about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot meet the Lord Jesus Christ and remain the same. You're going to leave there another way. Some people meet him like the rich young ruler and leave there sad because they say, Jesus, now your teaching is too hard. I can't give away all this stuff. But if you meet Jesus and surrender to him, you'll leave there a different person. I can see the guy who they brought to Jesus. They had to go up on top of the rooftop and tear a hole in the roof of the house and let the paralyzed man down. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And then folks start talking about, who is this? Who are you? Who are you to forgive sins? Well, he's the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can forgive sin. And Jesus said, what is hard? To forgive him of his sins or to tell him to walk? He said, well, just tell him to walk. That's the hardest thing. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He said, not only are you going to walk out of here physically well, but you're going to walk out of here spiritually well. Your sins are forgiven you. Just get to Jesus. Nicodemus, he came by night. He didn't want to go during through the day because he was a little embarrassed, but he came by night, a religious leader, and talked to Jesus. And Jesus told him, Nicodemus, Nick, at night, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. Nick didn't get born again right that moment, but later on you read through the book of John, and when they brought him down off the cross, guess who was there? Guess who was there? As they brought Jesus down off the cross, Nicodemus was right there. Nicodemus got born again because he met Jesus. If you can just get to Jesus. I can see the man who was a soldier, centurion soldier, and he met Jesus, and his son was sick. He said, Jesus, I also am a man of authority. If I tell people to go here and go there, they obey my commands. I don't even deserve you to come into my house. You don't have to come to my house, but you just say the word, and my son would be healed. And the Bible said, Jesus healed the man's son and never even went to his house. Just get into Jesus. Just get into Jesus. Return your life around. Just get into Jesus, not just for salvation, but get into Jesus every day. Will turn your life around. I can see blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. But oh, when he met Jesus, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus gave him his eyesight back. I can see the 10 lepers, they met Jesus, and Jesus cleansed them of their leprosy, and all 10 of them left. You all know the biblical account, but only one of them came back. And Jesus said, you've been made well. I said, wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you healed all 10 of them. I thought all of them was made well. But now this one not only got healed of his leprosy, he got healed physically, but he got healed spiritually. That's the most important thing. Sometimes we focus too much on physical illness. If you're in the Lord and you physically sick, eventually you'll get well. Eventually when you go on to heaven, spiritual sickness is the greater thing. You want to make sure you're well spiritually. You want to make sure you've been born again. You want to make sure you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily and a regular basis. Just get to Jesus. Just get to Jesus. You know, he's come. He's come for the downtrodden. He's come for those who need strength. He's come for those who need help. He's come for those who need peace. He's come for those who need joy. He's come for those who need salvation. My face, I come to seek and to save those who are lost. He's come for those who need deliverance. Just go to Jesus. Just take your sin to Jesus. Take your issues to Jesus. Take your cares to Jesus, the one who cares for you. Take your problems to the problem solver. Take your illness, your sickness to Jesus. Take your marriage to Jesus. Take your finances to Jesus. Take your kids to Jesus. Take that situation that's overwhelming you. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the dad brought his son to Jesus. Take that situation. Take that issue. Take that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, he's in the deliverance business. I say he's in the deliverance business. He's in the even though sometimes he won't even remove the storm, but watch this. He can give us peace even in the midst of the storm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He can give you peace even in the midst of a storm. He doesn't always just remove the storm, but he can give you peace. He can give you peace in the midst of the storm. Now, if I got peace, I said, if I got peace, by God's grace, I can handle the storm. If I got his peace, I can sleep good at night. If I got his peace, I can handle the storm. So Jesus, of course, healed the boy. They mistakenly thought Jesus had killed the son, killed the boy, but Jesus had healed them. And so after all this had happened, after Jesus had healed this young man, cast out the demons, look at verse 28 and 29, and I'm through. When Jesus had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately. See, they were kind of embarrassed, Deacon, right? They were kind of embarrassed. They pulled him off to the side privately. Brother Jim, privately. Why could we not cast it out? Because once again, previously, Jesus had sent them out and they had been able to cast out some demons. They had been able to heal some people that were sick. So they said, Jesus, why could we not cast it out? You may be asking that question even this morning. You say, Lord, why can't I overcome this thing? Why can't I be more consistent in my walk with you? Why can't I get rid of this thing that so easily entangles me? That's what Jesus says. Jesus said to them and to us this morning, he said, this kind, this particular thing, can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, if I were to interview everyone of us in here who are born again, there were some things that you brought over into the, from unsaved life to saved life, some things you brought over that Jesus said, boom, overnight, that next day, that next week, it was gone. Some of y'all used to cuss a lot. But the Lord changed that tongue, and now you don't use that type of language anymore. I just grab one. I can grab all kinds of. But then there's some other stuff. If we were all real this morning, if there's some other stuff in this Christian walk that used to plague us back then or plagued us from whenever, that's still kind of tugging on us sometimes. Some things, Jesus said, take some extra praying. Take some more looking at scripture. What does scripture say about the use of my tongue? Since I got trouble, I'm going to stay with that one. Since I got trouble cussing all the time, let me read some passages about controlling this tongue. Some of this other stuff, I used to do this, used to do X, Y, used to drink. I don't drink anymore. Some of this stuff you probably just left alone years ago. But some things are still. Paul writes about it in Romans 7. He talks about when he would do good, evil is present with him. We don't want to stay there. A lot of people just put a period in camp right there. He goes on and read the rest of the thing. He said, who will deliver me? Who will set me free? Oh, that's a wonderful thing. He said, who will help me in this battle? And he said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I don't have to always be defeated. I don't have to always stumble. Because I got the Lord on my side. But this Christian battle is a battle. Galatians 5 talks about it, the spirit and the flesh warring against each other. So really, beloved, it comes down to who you feed the most. You know, a lot of times, especially this day and time, you can't just kind of stay in neutral and really grow in Christ. You gotta chase after the Lord. You gotta say, Lord, I'm gonna block off some time. I'm gonna turn the TV off. I'm gonna stop doing it. I'm gonna spend some time with you. We don't just grow by osmosis. We're saved by grace. Yes. Not of works. Ephesians 2. But to grow, it takes some work. It takes some work. It takes some heavy lifting sometimes. Maybe you're still reading, you know, a verse a day to keep the devil away. Now you got to come on up past that. One of my friends, he was years ago, he had a good godly grandmother. She's always giving good little wisdom. But she's always telling me, I read my verse a day to keep the devil. He had to lovingly tell his grandmother, Grandmama, you need to come on up off that one verse a day. Maybe read two verses a day. Did that very respectfully because he loved his grandmother. She loved the Lord. But Jesus said some things in your Christian life, some things in my Christian life, to move forward, sometimes it takes a little different type of sacrifice. So even this week, I'm going to suggest, this week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about fasting in 2 weeks from today. Next week, we'll preach about the resurrection. But let me just give you a simple definition on fasting. Let me say this even on the front end. Once again, even with this text, this verse 29, some manuscripts have prayer and fasting. Some just have prayer. Even in the Christian community, there's much, some debate, some dialogue, some disagreements about fasting. But I think if you just casually read the Bible, and I'm not trying to be legalistic about anything, but just casually read the Bible, fasting is biblical. I said, fasting is biblical. You know, it's in the Bible. Jesus himself fasted. You know, Luke 4 and Matthew 4, after he had been baptized, he was led into the wilderness. The Bible says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So let me just give you just a general definition of fasting. Like I said, I will teach a little bit more and preach a little bit more on that in 2 weeks. But a general definition of fasting is this: going, you might want to jot this down, going without food or drink voluntarily, generally for, of course, you know, biblical or religious purposes. You know, going without food or drink voluntarily, generally for religious purposes. Of course, you know, biblical fasts are for spiritual and religious reasons. You know, I'm not talking about a fast to try to lose weight or something, but you know, if you lose a few pounds, it's fine too. But we're talking about for religious reasons, for a specific purpose. Sometimes people will fast for a particular situation. So I'm gonna rather than eating this meal at lunch or breakfast or dinner or whatever, I'm gonna skip that meal. And during that time, here's an important part, a very important part: replace that time with God. Replace that time with Jesus. Replace that time with prayer. So maybe even tomorrow on your job, you might say, rather than taking lunch today, I'm just going to, and I used to do this every now and then when I was at TVA, I'm just going to go somewhere and go just pray. I'll just go read the script. Rather than eating my little sandwich today, eating that little bologna sandwich that I used to eat every now and then, eating that little sandwich today. Y'all know bologna, that's poor folk steak now. Bologna, that's good stuff. I like bologna now. Maybe rather than eating that little lunch or whatever, you know, spend some time with the Lord. And then watch this. Today, another great type of fast, because basically kind of a more broader context of fasting is basically giving up something for the Lord. So watch this. Here's an easy one. Because some people, for medical reasons, some people can't miss a meal, and I understand that, for medical reasons. But this day and time, most of us in here spend a lot of hours doing things such as watching TV, social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, tweeting, all that. I can go on and on and on. So a good fast would be, okay, rather than watch that 30 minute show or that hour show that I usually watch every night or whatever, rather than watch that, I'm gonna spend some time with the Lord. Perhaps maybe if you do a weekly hobby or leisure activity, you might say, well, this week, rather than doing whatever, you fill in the blank, rather than going to shoot ball or going to play golf or whatever it might be, doing that this week, rather than doing that this week for an hour or whatever, I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. Lord, I'm going to dedicate this time to you. I'm going to give up something over here that I normally would do, and I want to give this time to you. That's just very practical, very, 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 you know, just low hanging fruit, very practical. And, you know, Jesus often says things like, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself, you know, give up some stuff and follow me. So this week, my challenge to you as your pastor, this week, as we head toward Resurrection Sunday, thinking about what Christ has done for us, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, paid the price for our sins this week. So Lord, I'm going to give up something. And rather, whatever that something is, be it skipping a meal, be it skipping a TV show, be it easing off our social media some, be it giving up a leisure activity, rather than doing that this week, I'm gonna spend that time with you. And I would just suggest, I even put it in the bulletin today, read some this week, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read some this week about the crucifixion of Christ. And read some this week about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even for us, beloved, if we're not careful, if we're not these quote-unquote religious holidays come around, we might be just so casual and easy, casual with Easter. We really kind of, if we're not careful, forget the significance that Christ died on the cross, suffered for you and me, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again with all power in his hands. So let us not just be casual this week as we think about our Lord. We should never be casual. We should always think about him reverently and joyfully, but reverently. So this week, perhaps this week, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, any of those four gospels, read about the crucifixion, read about the resurrection. Like, so one of them is even in your bulletin on the pastor's page, or I think it was Mark's account I put in there about the crucifixion. So this week, skip that TV show. Put down Facebook, put down Snapchat or Instagram or tweeting or whatever else, or maybe skip a meal. And rather than doing that, say, Lord, this is part of my offering to you this week. I know I really enjoy doing XYZ, but rather than doing that today, dear Lord, I'm gonna spend this time with you, a little extra time. I mean, there are some good little daily breads out there, adaptations of daily bread. The daily breads are out there on the credenza, but also a 10-day reading. a 10-day reading that's talking about God's grace. And for 10 days, you can read about God's grace as it relates to the resurrection, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection, starts out by Romans in Romans 5, I believe it was. So that would be something good. You might say, well, I don't really know what to read or what to read extra this week. Well, right out there on the credenza is a good starting point, a good starting point. And just, you know, start today, do it tomorrow, do it Tuesday. Let this week, as you head toward what we call Good Friday and head toward next Sunday, think about for the Christian faith. Now, we know, of course, Jesus had to be born. We know that. But really, the Christian faith really hinges on what happened this week. The Christian faith. If Christ did not die for our sins, if Christ was not buried, if Christ did not come back to life, as Paul said, we are a people much to be pitied. We might as well just, you know, close the church down and put a different sign out there and do something else in here every Sunday. If Christ did not rise from the dead. But he did. Up from the grave, he arose. He rose from the grave. With all power, he rose from the grave. He's Christ. He's God. He went in with all power and he came out with all power. He's Christ. Jesus said, some things only come by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, not if, but when you fast. So that's something in this week. So, okay, I'm going to take a page out of the Bible. I'm going to deny myself of something this week, and I want to replace that with the Lord. I'm going to replace that with prayer. I want to replace that with the Word of God. And I know I'm preaching. I'm finishing. I'm about to eat. I almost feel like any question. Anybody want to ask a question? But this week, do that and see what the Lord does in your life. Because much like the disciples, I think they had kind of maybe began to coast just a little bit and say, hey, we got this under control. In your Christian life, in my Christian life, as we are allowed to grow a little bit, I don't think we do it consciously, but sometimes we kind of like, you know, put it on cruise control. So, okay, I know a few Bible verses now. I've got a little deliverance. I've grown a little bit. And next thing you know, you become kind of lukewarm or kind of end up in a spiritual rut, I call it, you know. So this week, so Lord, this week, I want to draw closer to you. And that's never a prayer that when you pray a prayer like that, say, Lord, this week, I want to draw me closer to you. Show me any sin in my life I need to confess or anything. Show me anything I need to do in my life. Just draw me closer to you this week. That's never you, beloved. You don't have to ever worry about, is that a prayer that God hears or is that a prayer that God is pleased with? You know, if you sincerely say, Lord, draw me closer to you. That's just like he told the guy in the text, you know, if you got faith, you know, I got the compassion. If you're willing, if you believe, you can do all things if you believe. So this week, when we come back here next Sunday, say this week, say a week from today, dear Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to you. Throughout the Bible, people who walk with the Lord, like a Moses, like David, like Paul, they had a yearning to be closer to the Lord. And I mean, you know, you can read the biblical account. These brothers were pretty close to the Lord. But Moses, even after the burning bush, he saw the Lord at the burning bush. But later on, Moses, Lord, show me your faith. I want more of you. So as a Christian, God does create a hunger and a desire in us to be closer to him. So this week, let that be our goal this week. Lord, I want to be closer to you this week than I was last week. If I'm blessed to be back here next Sunday, I want me and you to be a little more intimate, a little more in tune. I want to walk a little closer to you this week than I did last week. Lord, this is indeed your servant's prayer and cry.